The Monday Morning Joe podcast is presented by Discount Garage Doors and Lakeland Automall Ford and Hyundai. Lakeland Ford right now, folks, is doing a tremendous thing. They're offering factory pricing and all incentives for anyone with Hurricane Irma damage on their vehicles. Factory pricing is a phenomenal opportunity, usually reserved for dealership management or ownership. Now it's available through the end of this month if you have Hurricane Irma damage, any kind of damage on your vehicle. And you also get, of course, the nationwide lifetime warranty, which is available on every new purchase at Lakeland Automall Ford and Hyundai. Hyundai also is offering an additional $750 off plus all incentives to anyone with damage from Irma. So great things there from our friends at Lakeland Automall Ford and Hyundai trying to help the community. Visit LakelandAutomall.com. Or just stop by their new showrooms on West Memorial Boulevard in Lakeland, I-4, exit 28, just minutes from Tampa, Brandon, anywhere else in Central Florida. Lakeland Automall, where they are exceeding customer expectations every single day. Discount Garage Doors, dgdoors.com. Use your Joe Bucks Fan discount code. Joe Bucks Fan's going to get you 10% off. Just mention that. They're open 7 days a week to repair your garage door, diagnose your garage door, provide a new garage door. They are the leaders in the garage door business across Florida. This is a great local company since 2000, serving the Tampa Bay area. Now they're throughout Orlando and beyond. They have a phenomenal website. I have to say that. You've got live chat available where you can ask a question. You've got great discounts with coupons and things. And then you've got your Joe Bucks Fan discount code. They sell new garage doors, repair garage doors, same day service call. 7 days a week, that option is available. So you can get your service taken care of anytime. Don't hesitate. Give them a call, 1-866-420-DOOR. They're going to come out to your home and diagnose a problem and not charge you for it. A lot of companies do. Discount Garage Doors. Check them out. Victory Monday. Steve Isbitz here with you from JoeBucksFan.com. Thanks for tuning in to Monday Morning Joe. And of course, we're available on iTunes, Google Play, and right here every Monday morning on JoeBucksFan.com. Man, it is so good to feel a victory. You know, you wait as fans, and in case you haven't realized, at JoeBucksFan.com, we are serious Bucks fans. As I've mentioned before, that's how we got into this. We didn't get into this to make a bunch of money. That wasn't the plan. We got into this, had full-time jobs. We didn't get into this to necessarily do anything other than express a voice as a fan. And yeah, we knew we'd make a little money. We had a plan, but not to do this full time by any stretch of the imagination. But it became that. And the fan part of this has never gone away. And, you know, when you wait all those months for football and you've endured all that losing of the Buccaneers, who are the worst, have the worst home record since Chucky was fired in the NFL. And then you wait an extra week because of the hurricane. And then you dealt with all the hurricane baloney, whatever it is in your life. Most of you listening locally dealt with something, whether it was work or your kids out of school for 7 days and dealing with that challenge and their challenges as it relates to that, or having no power or having somebody stay with you because you're helping them out. Or the money you lost evacuating, or staying in a hotel, or doing whatever, or the damage on your home. Or you had to deal with your neighbor, like I did, who I haven't talked to in quite a while, because we share a common fence that got torn down. It's endless, it's upsetting, and then we finally got football back. And if you're listening to this podcast, football means a lot to you in your life. A lot more than just, hey, I like the Bucks. You are a serious fan. You live and die with the team. They are part of your DNA. They always will be. And you got that victory. And not only did you get a victory yesterday, you got a home win. You got a must win. Because if we're all honest with ourselves, beating the Bears at home, Mike Glennon and no receiving corps, beating that team at home was a must win. That's just raw honesty if you have aspirations of playing in February or in January or winning 10, 11 games. Must win. And the Bucks delivered. And they delivered easily and handily. And it was just so sweet to get that game back, to get a win, to get a laugher of a victory, really. I was writing stuff at halftime to go up on JoeBucksFan.com. I was that confident, felt that good. I can't remember having such a calm about me without alcohol at halftime of a game in ages. And there it was. The Bucks brought a tonic, brought a happiness to this town. And I'm just grateful for that as a fan, forgetting about anything else. But you didn't come here for me to say I'm grateful for being a fan, because we're all fans and we're all happy this morning. It's Monday morning. The Bucks won. They're 1-0 at home. Now they've won 5 in a row at home, 5 in a row. Yeah, those of you who maybe listen to all our podcasts know that I'm not the quote unquote den of depression guy who writes that on JoeBucksFan.com. That's Lee D. Kemper, and that's fine. He can call it the den of depression. He has a simple rule. Bucks have to win more than 5 games in a year, a.k.a. have a winning record in a season, to strip away the nickname. The thought there by Lee is Bucks fans have endured so much rampant losing, so much pain, so much depression, that it's only fair. Let's just win more than we lose at home. And you know what? All the NFC South teams, since Chucky was fired, have phenomenal home records, very strong winning records at home. Ours is beyond a losing record. But I don't fall in that camp. Bucks now have won 5 in a row. That's a full culture change at Raymond James Stadium with the same head coach, same quarterback, same system. That's enough for me. The Bucks have established a home field advantage right now, and it's serious. And again, that is another step that this game confirmed toward this team becoming a legitimate team, a legitimate contender, which is what we're all looking for. Now, Dirk Cutter. You gotta put your hands up and cheer for Dirk for one big reason. And it's a reason to feel great about this football team that maybe you don't think about. Last year, the Bucks, they sort of had a lighter training camp. Dirk Cutter did everything he could to protect the roster, to, you know, keeping guys out of the heat and periods in training camp with no helmets, stuff that these guys weren't used to. And he did a lot of little things, most of them psychological, because that, I don't know if that necessarily helps you win a football game, but he wanted his players to believe that he was looking out for them and taking great care of them physically as professionals. And he wanted them to buy in on that, and they did. And they came out last year, shocked a lot of people by smacking around the Falcons on the road in Atlanta. And that was a huge win. And what it did was it validated everything that Cutter had done up to that point, right? Because if you win on opening day, then everything you did in preseason, everything you did in training camp, everything you prepped for months to be ready on opening day, you're a genius. You did it right. If you lose on opening day, well, maybe you didn't prepare right and you're an idiot. That's just the way it is. And Cutter did that last year and it worked. Great job. Well, this year comes around and everything is thrown off. You got Hard Knocks, you've got a hurricane, you got a first week one bye week. All the buttons that Cutter was trying to push to be prepared for Miami and be prepared for week one, the new week one even against the Bears, were screwed up. Everything was screwed up. And he even had some illness within his team. Quan Alexander, if you remember, missed a practice, as did Evan Smith, was sidelined a little bit last week, for those of you who were paying attention. But regardless, all that distraction, all that nonsense, everything that went on leading up to yesterday's game, somehow, some way, Cutter managed to push the right buttons. His team was ready to play. They won 29-7. They should have had a shutout. And Cutter, again, magically did everything right leading up to that point with a lot of challenge. So it shows you that Cutter really knows what he's doing. I believe that if you lose on opening day and really get throttled, you got a problem in your program. Now, sure, you can lose by 7 points or be beaten by a good team. I'm not saying only good teams win on opening day, but the reality is usually that's indicative of a problem. And if you go back to 2015 when the Bucks got Jameis, there was no greater evidence of a problem in the Lovie Smith regime when they got absolutely train wrecked at home by the Titans. It was a tremendous sign that Lovie Smith just was not ready for opening day, even though he swore he was Tennessee ready. So looking for little signs, props to Cutter for being completely ready for that game And what a victory. What a victory. Great job by Coach Cutter. Now, honestly, things can be back to normal. But it's not completely normal. And I like the button that Cutter is pushing here, because today, Monday, September 18th, the Buccaneers did not get a victory Monday. Usually what that means is they win a game and they get Monday off. That's the big locker room celebration. You lose, you come to work on Monday, you watch film, you prep. It's not like you're beating your body hard or anything like that. You're not running sprints because you lost, but you have to come to work. Well, Cutter told the guys yesterday, you know what, guys? Victory Monday? No, sorry. Yes, we won. Yes, we won big, but we've had some distractions. We had our bye week. We've had all the crap you know about. You're coming back to work. And a lot of this, I'm sure, Cutter didn't say it yet, but I'm sure that it stems from what happened last year. Last year in week two, if you remember, Buccaneers went out to the desert, went out to Arizona. I was out there for that game, and they got their ass kicked after beating Atlanta. I think it was 42-7 or whatever it was. It was 30-point margin. Terrible, terrible game. And they were beaten up in that game as well. And I was the guy who talked to Damar Dotson in the locker room, and Dotson told me point blank, nobody else was around, that the Bucs were reading their headlines and they sort of thought they were got too high on the victory and thought they were going to win, and it caught up to him. And I was stunned when Dotson told me that. I still remember it. I was like, did he just say that? Did he just say that this team, coming off a 6-10 season, believed its newspaper clippings and its blog postings that they were off to a great start for beating Atlanta, which wasn't exactly a juggernaut at that time, opening day last year, coming off an 8-8 season. So I went to Joe Hawley in that locker room in Phoenix, and I talked to Joe about the same thing, and he confirmed it. He said the same thing. Yeah, he said they thought they had a bad week of practice and that they got too high on themselves. And I was like, how does this happen? How does that happen in the NFL? You think you're world beaters after week one? Well, Dirk Cutter knows what happened. And now this year, I think you're seeing the result of Cutter knowing that he's not going to let that happen again. Something's got to change. And something has. Your Bucks are back at $1 today, watching film and practicing and acting almost in a sense like they lost. Now they know they won. We all know they won. It feels great, but they're having a week as if they lost. And I like the mentality by Cutter. I think it's going to prove to be a good thing. And if nothing else, it'll help their conditioning a little bit and refocus any guys who might have been out of focus. Now, one thing that happened with the Bucs yesterday in that game is they got a little bit of luck. They got some luck. You need luck to win in the NFL. Unless you're a historic juggernaut of a team, you need some luck. I always go back to the 2005 Buccaneers. They seemed to get every bounce in America went that team's way. That's what it just felt like. They got every bounce. And this team, think about it. They dominated the Bears. I'm not taking away from the victory. But first pass by Jameis in this game, I believe. First pass was tipped. Could have been picked. First pass of the game. Not a good throw at all. It fell their way, it fell to the ground, and we move on. The play by Tariq Cohen, the Bears rookie, Bucks punt away, and the ball is literally like a second from being downed. It's rolling on the 13-yard line, and the kid decides to try to make a play and field the punt that's bouncing funny between two Bucks defenders, and Ryan Smith is there to strip him because he can never really grab onto it. Stupidest play you're going to see in a long time. Really, really dumb stuff. And the Bucs were able to capitalize on that. Such a massive momentum changer. That's luck. You don't make that happen. That's just pure luck. And the Bucs got their share of luck in that game. And that's just fine with me. That's football. But maybe that's the way it's going to go this season. Maybe this team is going to be charmed by the football gods. It happens. Now, this is not great analysis of the football gods are going to charm the Bucks, but that's how it goes in football. Things seem to go in waves like that. Little things happen, and you know what? You need those breaks, and the Bucks got them. Maybe they have to be a little tighter, but you know what? In this game, when, in my opinion, in some ways, they were a little rusty, especially Jameis. They got the breaks. It didn't affect him, and they worked it out. So that was really, really good to see. I'm going to stick with the offense before we get to the tremendous play by the defense. And there were some issues with the defense, don't get me wrong. But the offense, the running game, I'm really getting an interesting vibe on the running game and the way people are perceiving it. There's a lot of interesting perception going on with Bucks media, Bucks fans. It's a little bit baffling, but I think it stems back to how you view Doug Martin. Because we're sort of viewing the running game through a lens of thinking what Doug Martin would do or what Doug Martin would have done. And then when you wear those glasses, those Doug Martin glasses, are they Doug Martin 2015 glasses? Are they Doug Martin 2016 glasses? And there's a lot of perceptions out there that, to me, are just ridiculous. Let's just go by what's on the field. Let's judge by what we see. I was looking at TampaBay.com and Rick Stroud, the beat writer there, and Tom Jones. They cut a little video from Raymond James Stadium after the game. Very rough audio on it, but I was able to hear Stroud was saying that the Bucks didn't run the ball well and they need to improve that. He said they didn't run the ball well. And I'm not seeing that. I thought they were very, very solid running the football. Jaquizz Rodgers, 19 carries, 67 yards. That's 3.5 yards a carry. That's not a world beater kind of situation by any means. Don't get me wrong. But he had a touchdown, very strong touchdown run. And he was solid. That's a solid day, considering a lot of times he was running the ball. The Bears were looking for the run. And it was a workmanlike effort from the guy. You know, if he does that all year long, he's got 16 touchdowns and 1,000 yards. And I'm exaggerating, and that would give him 300-something carries. And he's not going to have 300 carries and 1,000 yards and 16 touchdowns. But his day, Rodgers' day, 19 carries, 67 yards, against a solid front seven, which the Bears are known to be and do have, that's a good day. Peyton Barber comes in when they really know the Bucks are running the ball. 10 carries, 47 yards. That's a great, great turnout for Barber. And he was running strong. He was running right. He was running left, up the gut. These were hard-earned yards. And those two running backs combined for 114 yards on 29 carries. That's a very solid day running the football. Very balanced attack. You know, Jameis, overall, you look at the numbers, Ryan Fitzpatrick had a couple of scrambles for -2 yards. Okay, pulls the average down. Jameis, a scramble for 3 yards. Charles Sims, he got 2 carries, 2 yards. Okay, that sucks. But the one where the Dirk Cutter gave him the ball on 3rd and 1, that's not Sims' fault. This guy can't run up the middle on 3rd and 1. We all know it. Everybody in the stands know it. Knew it. Everybody listening knows it. And he got the ball. I can't fault Sims for getting a handoff up the gut. It's just not his game. And, of course, he danced. His other run, he slipped in the backfield. Cut left and looked like he was maybe going to dance, maybe going to cut. I don't know. You never know with Sims. And he slipped, and he got 2 yards. So there's his rushing day. 3rd and 1, he gets stuffed because he's dancing, and he got one other carry, 2 yards, because he slipped. I can't kill Charles Sims for 2 carries, but I thought the Bucks running game was solid. I really did. I don't think it was a day where they missed Doug Martin. And again, if you think they missed Doug Martin, you have to ask yourself, what year Doug Martin? They didn't miss last year's Doug Martin. They missed 2015 Doug Martin, just like every other team in the league would love to have 2015 Doug Martin. It's an interesting development, but the point is the Bucks ran the ball well. I'm eager to go back and watch the game again and watch when the film comes out. J.R. Sweezy, Ali Marpet, for these guys working together for the first time in a real game. Sweezy, first time playing since 2015. Marpet, his first full NFL game at center. Thought they did great. Great when you consider everything that they were dealing with right there. Donovan Smith, couple of screw-ups on the first drive. You could maybe want to call that rust. He got Jameis's blew up, allowed a sack on Jameis, and he screwed up in the run game. But he settled in pretty well, so I liked what the offensive line did overall. It's hard to complain. Jameis wasn't exactly getting beat up, but it wasn't perfect, but I thought it was very, 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 very solid. And certainly Jameis had plenty of time on various occasions, enough to light it up and have a more impressive day. Now, on that note, look, we saw Jameis fail on three home run balls. 0 for 3 on the home run ball. Not a reason to freak out, but there's two things to note. Two things that I think are important. One, offensive coordinator Todd Monken, who is also the wide receivers coach, but he's also a big part of the meetings on the game plan. He's a very integral part of the offense, a very experienced coach. He stood up last week and said Jameis's biggest improvement is on the deep ball, and that it was obvious that his offseason, he improved immensely at the deep ball. So then Jameis goes out and makes Monken look like an idiot. Of course, one of those throws to DeSean Jackson was more exceptionally tough because Jameis was sort of moved around in the pocket and under pressure a little bit, but you still got to make that pass. Maybe the chemistry between he and Jackson, between him and Jackson, is going to be off for 6 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks. I don't know. But Jackson was targeted 7 times, 3 catches, a couple of deep balls that could have been home run shots. It didn't happen. I'll say this, though. When you hate Charles Sims, when you express your rage and frustration to Charles Sims, and of course nobody hates him personally. I use that in the sports metaphor of I hate that guy. Charles Sims got open deep, beat his man on what looked like a wheel route. All he's open left, deep left. Jameis drops the ball 2 yards ahead of him. Dirk Koetter lamented about that missed opportunity late. But you know what? If that pass is on the money and Charles Sims catches a 45-yard touchdown pass from Jameis, everybody's hailing Charles Sims. What a versatile threat and what a great guy, even though he fumbled or whatever, he had a big play. So it can be that close sometimes. One game is tough, but Sims didn't have a good day. I'm not defending Sims, but just saying within the game, better throw by Jameis and better things would be happening right now for Charles Sims. The defense, the Bucs defense, I know there's a lot of fans who can't help but nitpick. They can't help but see how the Bears move the ball down the field, how they were 50% on third down, how Mike Glennon, statuesque Mike Glennon, drops back to pass 45 times and is only sacked once. 45 times Mike Glennon goes back to pass and you only drop him once? That's not good. That is not good at all. And the Buccaneers' pass rush was inconsistent in this game. And Noah Spence got his big play. And if he could do that every week, he's going to be in the Hall of Fame with a strip sack. But we need more consistency there. However, the rest of the defense was really superior. And the run defense, if you could play run defense that well, hold the team that can run the ball to 20 yards, and you can then tee off on the pass and make any team one-dimensional, you're going to have success. And the Bucs had success via their opportunistic and talented linebackers and their secondary. They got those 2 picks. Those were plays that had to be made. They were bad throws by Glennon, but they weren't the worst throws ever. Bucs needed to make plays, and they did. And that's a great, great part of this defense and an improving part of this defense. I wrote a story on JoeBucksFan.com. It was off a video that Quan Alexander did for Buccaneers.com where he talked about his offseason routine. It goes back 3 months ago, and I think he said he catches 200 balls a day. That's what Quan was doing. He was so focused this offseason on getting picks, making plays, that Quan Alexander was going out catching 200 balls a day just so when he gets those 5-6 opportunities, he converts on nearly all of them instead of 2/3 of them. And you know what? Holy crap. Quan gets an opportunity in coverage with a tight end. He's off balance and but he's got his eyes on the ball. It's a tough catch, and he makes it, and he gets the pick. So tremendous. That's just not a luck deal. That is such hard work in this offseason by Quan, and what a focused guy. So glad he got in there this week with a hamstring injury, and we'll talk more about him in a bit. But you look at the defense and overall, you have to be very pleased. Run defense like that is going to win you a ton of games. They've got a lot of talent on the back end. If you can force teams into third and long, you're going to have a good day. The Bucs just weren't as good as they should have been on third and long, again, because Glennon completed too many passes on third down. They didn't drop him enough. They didn't pressure him enough. And we all saw in the middle of the field, it was too much space for these Bears receivers to be operating. But in all, you know, Mike Smith is going to work, has a lot to work on, which is good. Keep these guys humble, keep them focused. And I have no concern that the Bucs are going to be able to rectify at least some of the coverage issues. They may not have the talent to fix the pass rush issues. It just may not be the case on this team. And Dirk Koetter said that before the season. Jason Light had implied that as well. They just are lacking in pure, consistent pass rush talent. But we'll see. We'll see how much Noah Spence might be able to develop this year. But again, even if he is limited, but if he can make a big play a game like that, get a sack a game, again, that puts you in the Hall of Fame. If you can manage 16 sacks a year, you're going to be that guy. They just need some more help for him and a little more consistency from him specifically, and good things will be happening there. All right, I had a couple other things I wanted to talk about that that apply to the Bucs as a whole. The fans were, I thought, were great yesterday. The Stick Carriers with Justin Pawlowski on his podcast, combined with What the Buck at a tailgate, and then they had a march in. And the various video that I saw, the march into the stadium, probably about 2,000, and chanting players' names and whatnot, and it made a difference to those players. Now, it was a weird week for an all-out fan excitement scream fest, given the hurricane and issues and just the lack of raw enthusiasm across the community for the game, but I thought they got off to a great start. And I know it was recognized in the walls of One Buck Palace. So that's a good thing and bodes very well. Now, our podcast here, we don't have Stick Carriers. Should we come up with a name? Should we come up with a name of Monday Morning Joers or something like that? I don't know. I don't know. It's just not me. But I do appreciate you listening. Of course, you can find the podcast iTunes, Podbean, Google Play, and on JoeBucksFan.com. So that's four places for you. Where you, if you subscribe on any of those platforms, you get an alert to your phone when the podcast posts on Monday morning. Otherwise, of course, on JoeBucksFan.com, you can just listen to it there, and you can still access it with your phone right on JoeBucksFan.com. We're grateful to our presenting sponsors, DG Doors, Discount Garage Doors. Visit DGDoors.com and Lakeland Auto Mall, Ford and Hyundai, which is providing just tremendous relief car sales opportunities for those affected, those who had their cars damaged by Hurricane Irma. So please check them out at LakelandAutoMall.com. Now, what's next for the Bucs? What's next? Well, going to Minnesota. And it's early. We're still celebrating this week's game. We're still in the euphoria of this week's game. But I don't see you. I don't talk to you until next Monday. Now, the Vikings are beatable. Beatable team. The Bucs, when I remember I talked about that football luck, Case Keenum. Case Keenum replaced Sam Bradford on Sunday. And he had a very Case Keenum-like day. 20 completions, 167 yards, no touchdowns. That's Case Keenum right there. The Vikings lost in Pittsburgh 26-9. So, sure, the Vikings can run the ball too. Dalvin Cook is off to a good start. 12 carries for 64 yards yesterday, and he looked good. Obviously, those of you who saw him on the opening Monday night against the Saints, although I'm not sure how you judge a guy who does well against the Saints, but you can't take away his performance. So the Bucs get their football luck. I'm assuming that Sam Bradford won't be there. Case Keenum, who has crushed the Bucs before, of course, as a member of the Rams, but these are the new Bucs. We've got a different attitude now toward our Bucs. It's not the same old Bucs anymore, but it is Case Keenum. And I think that's a game you got to win. You got to go get that game. You got to keep the momentum coming. And I think the Bucs are going to be a little bit more aggressive overall in this game, which might actually say a lot because the Bucks were pretty aggressive against the Bears. Look what Dirk Cutter did at the end of the first half. Look at what he did. 1 minute left, the Bucks get the ball back, up 23 points, and Cutter puts Jameis in the shotgun and says, let's go. That I wrote about this on Joe Bucks Fan. Maybe you read it. I called it badass coaching by Dirk Cutter. He wants a badass team, so he told everybody in April. That was just fantastic. So fantastic because you know what? You know why that was good? Because here's the thing. It's not just an attitude of a coach. It's also a coach who realizes that, you know what? Next week in the first half in Minnesota, we might get that ball with 1 minute left and not be up 23-0 in the first half. We might be losing 9-7, and we need to march down the field and put up those points. And you know what? What better practice than to do it now against the Bears? You can't simulate that in practice. You can try. Sure, they do hurry-up offense in practice, but it's not a game. So I have a lot of respect for Dirk Cutter for not going turtle, not going all Lovie Smith, not doing what a lot of coaches would do there and realizing, you know what, we need the work. And I think that was part of the decision as much as anything else. Yeah, Cutter wanted to step on the throat of the Bears and maybe get an easy fourth quarter out of it, which he did, be able to rest some guys, including Jameis. But the mindset of, you know what, not only do we want to step on their throat, we want to practice this because we might need this next week. And I think that was just good football coaching, good football attitude, and what we want out of our Buccaneers. And we haven't gotten what we want out of our Buccaneers for a long time, and that was really good to see. Really good to see. So much we could keep breaking down. I'm not going to go crazy here on this podcast, overanalyzing every last thing. I've hit you with the biggest things that I thought were important to talk about. You know, you can overhype and over freak out and overreact to week one left and right. You know, look, the Bears weapons suck. Can we really pull a lot from the Bucs secondary for the way they played against this group? No. Mike Glennon, yes, he's one of the worst quarterbacks we'll see all year. So you can't go too crazy, but you can enjoy the win. You can savor this. You can pick out the things that make this a new regime, a new attitude, a new level of winning Bucks football. That's the way I'm taking this week. And you know what? I recommend you do as well. And, you know, there are other good things to think about. Mike Evans, especially. One last shout to him for doing what he was expected to do. Come out here and be the number one receiver. You know, he just is just a special, special player. Go back, watch the game. You'll see it even more. Look at it on the film. He's just a special guy. And I think he's poised for a very, very big year, especially coming out with Jameis so in sync with him early, bodes very well. And you could see the difference in the sync. Chris Godwin, Jameis was out of sync with DeSean Jackson, but to have that comforting presence of Evans there is going to go a long way. All right, Bucks fans, we'll see you next Monday here on Monday Morning Joe.